You'll take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and if you will, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to start at verse number 1. We're going to read down through verse number 12. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if they, if any, obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of an apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they may speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Let us pray. Father, again, I want to thank you for the scriptures, the precious Bible, the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who certainly is God the Son. Thank you for him. And tonight, Lord, we need you. I know I need you. I need your power and your wisdom, your help tonight as we preach. And Lord, I think all of us need you, Lord, to take the Word of God and just apply it to our lives and help us to be better than we've ever been before for your glory. And we'll thank you in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to bring a message this evening, which I've entitled, Having a Strong Marriage. Having a Strong Marriage. We spoke last week on Satan's attack on the structure of the home. And I believe he's attacking husband and wife relationships. And I was thinking as I was setting up here, though, I was looking around and I was thinking, we are a blessed church. No, we really are. You look around, you see people out here been married over 50 years. You see some of them been married over 40 years. Some of them 30, some of them 20. Maybe some of them, maybe only 8 or 9 or 10. But you see strong marriages. And for that, I am so grateful. But you can always strengthen them. Amen. I believe that we always ought to strengthen our marriage. Amen. I know my wife said she told the class last week that she taught last Sunday morning, 51 years. Said, how do you do that? One day at a time. And let me tell you something, that's the way you do it. One day at a time. And I just believe that it's a constant strengthening process. This way that God would have us do it is to strengthen our marriage constantly. It's very important that we do that. Strong marriages are not an accident. No, strong marriages are there because there's been some work put into it, and some disciplines put into it. And it's like she said, one day at a time. And it ought to be constantly strengthening. And I believe there's some things that we can do to strengthen our marriages. And so there's some basic principles that we cannot ignore when it comes to the married life, you see. All right, and I've seen people, they've told me, and sometimes their marriages break up, and they look at me and they said, well, you know, I don't know how this happened. Well, let me share something with you. You've got to constantly work on strengthening that marriage. A lot of people, let me say it kindly, that has problems and has they're breaking up all over America, let me say to you, their marriage probably never was strong. Because a strong marriage will hold together, because a true strong marriage is based upon the principle of the rock in which we stand on, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's why we've got to build our marriages on Him. He is the foundation. Amen? Now, I'm going to go over to the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter. Now, I read this same verse of Scriptures last week, but I want you to listen, 7th chapter, and I will just read verse 26 and 27. It's the last of that which story he told. In 7th chapter, Matthew, verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. I'm simply giving you that portion of Scripture because you see here a house that was built up on the sand. If you build your marriage on the sand, it's going to fall. It's not going to stand. The winds are going to come. The rain is going to descend. The floods are going to attack it. But let me say to you once again, if it's built upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation is Him, I guarantee you that marriage will stand. Because He's the rock. He's the foundation of it. I've said this before, and I want to be careful about it, how I say it, but I've told people down through the years, when it comes to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course I'm talking to Christians, people who are God's children, I've told them it's impossible, I believe, to fall out of love with your wife or husband until you first fallen out of love with Jesus Christ. I believe if you keep your relationship with Jesus Christ right, your relationship with your partner will be right. That does not mean there will not be difficulties. The winds will blow, the rains will descend, and the floods will come. But the importance of all of this is you must have the foundation of that marriage as Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Okay? Now I'm going to go over to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, for just a moment to read you a verse of Scripture there. 1 Corinthians, first chapter, verse number 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know, he's basically talking here to a church, and certainly that's what will help unite a church. But we can say the same thing about a marriage. We've got to, as he says there should be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. He's not talking here, folks, that every one of us, my wife and I, is going to like the same color. We're going to like the same things. He's not talking about it. He's talking about spiritual things. He's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about the doctrines that we believe, and we'll discuss that later, but the doctrines and the belief in the Word of God be the same. There shouldn't be no divisions between my wife and I on our belief on the basic true doctrines of the Word of God. And that will help unite you and strengthen your marriage. Now, I believe, and we'll come back to the spiritual part of that a little bit later, but there's something else that I want to share with you that I believe also is in a marriage. And for the lack of a better word, I call it the emotional bond. There's something in a marriage that builds, and we all know that ladies are emotional. If you didn't know that, you probably better sharpen up, men. When you go home as a new husband, had been married maybe a year or two, and I come home and she's bawling like a baby. I thought one of the kids died or something. But it was a puppy that died, crying and crying. Come home another time, she was crying. I said, "Honey, what's the matter? Did another puppy die?" She said, "No, I watched this movie and it was so sad." She was still bawling. Came home another time, this is true. She was bawling again. I said, "Honey, did a puppy die? Did you watch a movie?" "No, I'm just so happy." You ain't going to understand them. Just forget it. But one of the reasons for that is they are an emotional being. But there's emotions. That's why your wife likes to plan things. She likes to look forward to things. I don't like to surprise my wife too much because she likes the joy of looking forward in doing something. This is important to a marriage, that you plan things. Sometimes you plan a vacation. Sometimes you just plan a day away. Sometimes you just plan going out and spending an evening with one another. But those are what I call emotional bonds that bond a marriage together. Sometimes it's a purchase of a new home. That's an exciting time. And you work together toward that, and you never forget those times because those things weld a marriage together. Sometimes it's the arrival of a child. What a joy when a child comes into our life. And there again, what a wonderful thing it is, and the joy that we get, and that wonderful bond that we begin to bond together and weld together because we're going to have a child. These things are important. And then let me say to you, sometimes just sitting around planning for the future. Have you ever done that? Just sit around and kind of plan for the future? What are you going to do? Those are important things. And because a husband and wife take that time and plan about their future and think about their future and what they're going to do. That helps weld you together. And then sometimes, maybe heartache comes. I don't know whether you understand it or not. I'm sure you probably do. But heartaches a lot of times help bond and weld a couple together. Sometimes it's the loss of a loved one. And what you do during those times as you care for one another and love one another and encourage one another, it welds you together. Sometimes it might be a financial crisis. Now just listen to me. I don't mean going out and producing financial crisis so that you'll be welded together. Don't go out and spend so you'll have a financial crisis so that you'll be welded together. But let me say to you, God uses financial crisis that comes into our life, and those are not always bad.
because you have to sacrifice together. You have to talk about what are we going to do to get out of this? How are we going to do this? How are we going to pay our bills? And you work together to do it. That bonds you together. I don't know if you understand that or not, but those are things that God puts into our life a lot of times just to weld us together. Amen? Years and years ago, I think I've told this, but years and years ago, we was in up to our debt up into here somewhere. We was drowning. And so I set my wife down one day and I said, honey, we're going to get out of this. God, this is not godly. This is not right. This was way back early in our Christian life. And I said, God's not pleased with this. And so we began to discuss and we began to sacrifice together. And we began to remember, I think it was it when it's you talking about the finances the other day and paying off the very least one that you owe first. And we picked up that program. We began to do that and we worked hard at it and all. But I want to tell you something. That was an amazing time in our life, because once we got that straightened out, and it took 5 years to do it. Took 5 years to get all that taken care of. But it made us stronger. Amen. In our marriage. Amen. She no longer was getting those things with windows in them, and she was tickled to death. You understand what I'm saying? Those things, though, are not bad things. They weld you together as a husband and wife, and you need that. You understand? You've got to strengthen the marriage, and God sometimes allows difficult times to come into our life that we might be bond together. Sometimes it's sicknesses. I teach this. I'll just mention it. I won't spend a lot of time on it. But I believe that we have turned over to the doctors and the hospitals one of the greatest things that God wanted for the home to be. And that's a nursing place where people are nursed back to health. We have run them to the doctor and to the hospitals. Now, I know we have to do some of that. I understand all that. But I want to tell you something. I can still remember laying on my mama's lap when I had earaches as a little boy. Laying on her lap and her putting sweet oil down my ear. And laying there for a while she put it in my ear and took care of me. Why do I remember that? I won't tell you why I did it. I remembered it because I was laying on my mother's lap. And what we do anymore is we don't want to take the time to spend some healing time with our children or each other. And if we would, you'd find out that that would bring some unity there that is very precious and lasting, and that you will remember it. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just telling you, there's things that God uses, hardships sometimes that we look at as hardships, but God is using those things to do something in our lives and to bond our marriages together like nothing else would do. Okay? I think something. I believe something. I believe over time, if we will take care of each other and love each other like we're supposed to, I believe our respect grows for each other. I want to live, I really do want to do this. I didn't say I always did. But I really want to live in such a way that she can be proud of me, always. That's the way I want to live. I want her to be able to respect me. You understand? Respect in a marriage is very, very important. Amen? And the way you get that respect is over years. I don't expect her to be perfect. I hope to the Lord she don't expect me to. But I respect her where she's come from and how she's grown in the Lord. And we've grown together in the Lord, and there becomes a respect and a love for one another. It draws one another together because we've went through a lot of things in life. Right. Right. So when tough times come, Don't run from those tough times. Work through them. Love one another and just work through them, because God is doing some things to strengthen your marriage. We have young couples out here. I'm proud of you. I mean that. I'm proud of you. But you haven't arrived. Your marriages are not as strong as they ought to be. Ours wasn't either. None of these others was either. It takes time to build, okay? But work at it. Just work at it, you see. Not only that, there's a spiritual bond, which I told you we'll come back to. And then there's the emotional bond, and then there's the physical bond. I'll be very careful here, but I want you to listen to me just a moment. Bible says marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. There's also the physical bond. Now listen to me. There's the spiritual, there's the emotional, and there's the physical. You never want to get them out of order. You want to remember that the spiritual is the most important bond that will bond you together for the rest of your life. Okay? And these emotional bonds, they're important. It's just something special, you know, when you go out and you maybe get new purchases and plan trips and things like that, and new projects and all of those things. It helps you to stick together and to work together. But then there is the physical bond. And it's a very important, wonderful thing that God has given the married life. And it's important. But what is happening, and just listen to me, I'll try to be good about this. But listen to me. Most of the time when young couples get married, the physical and the emotional becomes the important for a while. That's just life. But you don't ever want to leave it there. Because if all you have is a physical attraction for each other, you're in real trouble. It's got to go deeper than that. It's got to be founded on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the spiritual bond. It's got to be. The other is important. It's wonderful. We thank God for all of it. We thank God even for the emotional things that we go. But let me say to you, it must be the spiritual that becomes the foundation of a marriage. Okay? So many young couples build their lives on the emotional and physical, and they leave out the spiritual. Now, I'm telling you something, folks. Listen to me. You look around this old world. What's happening? Oh, they get attracted one to another, and it isn't long, you know. They'll go for maybe a year or two, or maybe not that long, and all at once things are a mess and trouble comes. Well, what's the problem? There's no foundation. There's no spiritual foundation for their marriage. You have got to remember that is the most important thing that there is. Men, I want to tell you something. It'd be a lot better to build a house right the first time than have to tear it down in the middle of it and rebuild it. So what I'm telling you tonight is set your affections on the things above, upon the things of the Lord, and work together as loving God and serving God and walking with God, and it will build a marriage that cannot be destroyed. You see, the love of God. No, you say cannot. No, I don't believe it can. You read 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, love never faileth. If we do what the Bible says, and Jesus Christ tells us in that chapter, exactly, if we do and do not do what the Bible says, it cannot fail. Why? Because it's the agape love of Jesus Christ. Amen. If we will treat each other like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, and we go over that quite often in our life, and see if we really are following what the Bible says to do, I want to tell you something, it will not fail. Okay? It fails when we fail to follow the Word of God and do what it says. Okay? Now, the spiritual bond, I want to get back to there just a little while. You know, I do believe that you want your marriage to work. And 10, 15 years from now, you're still married and enjoying a wonderful life. I think that's the way God wants it. First of all, let me give you the first one. You must receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's first. And I realize and understand that if you have an unsaved husband, if you have an unsaved wife, that this becomes a very difficult thing to have a real strong marriage. I understand that. But I'm saying to you, the very first thing is to be saved. And I want to share with you, and I'm going to go back over to 1 Peter. You see, God tells us in this portion of Scripture, the third chapter, He tells us and He gives instructions to the wife. In the first verse, He says, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word," and here's what I understand from this verse of Scripture, those who obey not the word, it's speaking there of the word of God. And then, but the second word is not talking about the word of God. He says, "If any obey not the word, they also may without the word," or without a word, "be won by the conversation of the wife." In other words, the wife will not have to speak it through her mouth, but she's going to speak it through her life. Now, I want to tell you, if you, and I don't know that you are, but if you're here with an unsaved husband, you're going to do more to win that man to the Lord through your life. And I want to tell you who's guilty of some of this, and I've seen it down through the years, so I can say this. The Pentecostal women are guilty of this. They lord it over their husbands, and they nag him, and they carry on. And I've seen husbands tell me, "I'm not ever going to church." Well, I want to tell you something. You can't do that. You want to win your husband to the Lord, the Bible says you're to do so with a meek and quiet spirit. And it's the way you're going to live. You're going to show forth, as it says here, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. They see the fear of God in your life. They see that coming out. And He tells a woman how to win her husband to the Lord. Okay? You don't have to nag. You don't have to browbeat. You don't have to do those things. You do it through your life. Okay? That's what God is telling us. And then he goes on, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of hair or of wearing of gold or of putting on of an apparel." If you notice here, he simply is saying, and he's not telling us not to put on apparel or not to fix your hair. He's saying, don't go outlandish and expect that to be what attracts your husband to the Lord, because it's not going to be. It's going to be the inside man. It's going to be the person that you are inside for the Lord. Now, we must, first of all, receive Christ as Savior. Then we must make Jesus Christ our Lord. If you'll notice in verse number 12 that we read there, "For the eyes of the Lord," there's one time, "are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." I'm saying to you, if we want a right kind of marriage, we are going to have to not only be saved, born again, but we're going to have to make Jesus Christ Lord of our life. She's going to have to, I'm going to have to. If you want a strong marriage, Jesus must be the Lord of your life. Amen? See, Lord means master, boss, supreme, authority. Amen? Jesus is the one that rules. Not her will, not my will, but God's will in our life. Amen? That'll build a wonderful, wonderful marriage. Okay? It's making Jesus Lord of your life. You can say, "Well, yes, I'm saved. I got saved way back." But you're not letting Jesus be the Lord of your life. How do you expect to build a strong marriage? Jesus must be Lord. In verse number 3, you notice, as it says there, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel." He's telling the ladies to set some priorities, spiritual priorities, not physical priorities. A husband's going to want to see out of his wife some spiritual truths that she says who she is, then let's see it. Amen? Let's see it come out in your life. It's what God is saying, you see. And I believe something, that the love that results in a kind deed or a gift given to someone, which happens in our marriages, is more important than the size and the value of the gift. We get all caught up on the great gifts someone can give us. Give us this, give us that. Well, I want to tell you, I appreciate it when my wife gives me a card and says some nice things on that card. I don't care if I get another gift. You've probably heard me say this in all seriousness. I've preached for many years now. When I get done preaching, there's one person who I want to say, good job. Now, if others do, I'm thankful, grateful, that's all right. But that's, I don't want, first of all, the Lord, but that's the one that means more to me if she says, good job. Amen. Why? Well, me and her are one. Been that way a long time, 51 years. Amen. So again, I'm saying to you, see, it's not all of these gifts and things that a person can give you. It's the love that comes from their heart. That's what's important. And that'll build a good, strong marriage. Amen. Also, you learn that a honest, hardworking, faithful, spiritual mate is more important than a new house, a new car, or how much money he makes. If you have a husband that loves God and walks with God and does his best to be faithful and train his children and leads his family in the ways of the Lord, you are a blessed person. And how much money he makes is not important. Amen? That going to church together is more important than having worldly pleasures. It's the spiritual. I'm trying to tell you, you build your spiritual life. Make that spiritual bond one with another. That serving God through the church is better than serving worldly organizations.
Amen.
Amen? Oh, absolutely. You see, that the spiritual education of your children is more important than his or her secular education. That's more important. Folks, the training of your children, yeah, everybody, I hear it all the time. Say, well, I want my child to grow up and I want him to be this, or I want him to be that, and I want him to know. Well, that's fine. He got to make a living, but boy, you better get his spiritual life right. I'd really honestly rather my children be paupers as far as money is concerned and have the Spirit of God on, the power of God on them. That's more important. Now, I didn't say you couldn't have money, you couldn't work, you couldn't do all. I'm just saying we better get our priorities straight. And if you want a strong marriage, you're going to have to build the spiritual part of that marriage that's going to bond you together. Another thing in verse number 4, you notice, but let it be a hidden man in the heart, in that which is not corruptible, and the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Ladies, and he, that's who he's talking to here. He talks to the man, but he says, have a meek and quiet spirit that's of great price to the Lord. Is that what he says? Jerry does. Meek and quiet spirit. That's very important. It's very important for your husband. It's very important for your marriage. Amen? Look at 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, 21st verse. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but submitted himself to him that judges righteously. Did you notice what Jesus did when he was reviled? He reviled not again. Don't you think we could bring this down and be like Jesus in our marriages?
Amen.
I mean, don't you think that would be a good idea? To follow the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to tell you something. I don't know that there's anybody in here that does this. But I want to tell you right now. I could not stand to live in a house where there was fighting. Yeah, I could not do it. I'd shoot her. I'd say, honey, I love you. No, I'm serious. I couldn't live that way. No way under the sun. Amen? Well, why don't we just sometimes when we're reviled, why don't we just not revile back? We don't always have to be right. Amen. See, that's what Jesus did. I think he's our example. Isn't that correct? He's our example. Sure. Now, I want to take you over to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, please. And I want to start reading at verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I just want to share something with you on this. I mentioned it earlier, but folks, it's so important that your doctrine be right. Bad doctrine causes problems. You must believe the same. I'm talking about major Bible doctrines, and I'll talk about them in a minute. You must believe. That bonds us together. We've never had a discussion in our household whether Jesus was virgin born. There's nothing to discuss. Amen? Nothing. But there's never been a discussion about the substitutional death of Jesus Christ for us. He died for us. We know that. Now you say, well, what's that got to? That bonds you together. The beliefs, you see. And as he goes on there in verse 15, and he says that things which is the head, even Christ, that Christ is the head. It's important that you and I understand that Jesus is the head of her and he's the head of me. He's the head of our home. He's the boss. He's the authority. And so the doctrine, the belief, the true doctrinal belief, I would hate to live with someone who thought they could lose their salvation. There's no security in that. No, we need to believe the same, which we do. I believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Don't you? I want to tell you something. That bonds me and her together, because not only do we believe in his resurrection, we believe in ours. And I don't know when he's going to take either one of us, but I know this, I'm going to see her again. See, that's the hope and the security that we have, you see. Not only that, the verbal inspiration of the scriptures. We know that the Bible is God-inspired. We know that. It's his word. We have no problem with that. That's important in a marriage. And another thing is the second coming of Jesus Christ. We from time to time will talk about the second coming and look forward to it and rejoice in it and wonder if it's today. Boy, that's something that just helps bond a marriage together. See, when you talk about those things, you see. Well, the way you can do that is this. You can do it by the hearing of the Word of God on a regular basis in your church. Coming, being faithful to every service. And I'm talking to a Wednesday night crowd, but I want to tell you that's what will build a marriage. The constant building of a marriage through the preaching of the Word of God. You hear it over and over and over and are encouraged by it. All kinds of messages we hear from our pastor, and we walk out of here encouraged and sometimes saying, woe is me, you know, whichever it could be, you know. But we thank God that the Word of God has been preached and it builds our marriage. Since my wife and I was married 51 years ago, and I think there's others in here could really give the same testimony. You know, we just, after we become Christians, we just don't miss church. And that's one of the reasons that today we're here 51 years down the road. We just don't miss church. We go and hear the Word of God. We're strengthened by the Word of God. Amen. So again, I say to you folks, I believe it's almost impossible to keep a marriage the way it ought to be outside the canopy of the local church. I just don't believe that's possible. You understand?
Amen.
See, you need that every day. You say, well, I can miss church. No, you can't. No, you can't. You're not building that structure the way God wants it built. Just be in church. And like I say, I know we're a faithful people here, but just be in church and continue to be in church. Okay? And it builds. Now, I want to show you something because it kind of comes over from last week. Let's go back to verse number 1 in Peter, 3rd chapter, and let me read. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not that word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. He comes back to verse 1 of chapter 3 and he says, likewise. He's told us a lot of things in the scriptures before that. But he talks to the man here down in verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may be not hindered. In verse number 1, he talks to the wives, and he says to them, now you be in subjection to your own husband. Now, is that true? Is that what he said? Does that mean that? Have you got a better plan? That's what he said. Now he turns around and he talks to the husband. Husbands, he says, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as in being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I want we husbands to remember something. That lady right sitting over there, she's mine, she's my wife, but she, more importantly, is a child of God. She belongs to the Savior, and I had better be careful how I treat her.
That's good.
She's his child first. He's just lent her to me. You understand? And he says, if you don't do that, he said, your prayers will be hindered. Men, we have a great responsibility to treat our wives with kindness and grace. Amen? No, it doesn't mean you do what all they say. You don't understand what I'm saying. You treat them with kindness and grace because they're a gift of God to us. And we are both, though, heirs of the grace of life.
Amen.
I'm not going to be married to her in heaven. That's what the Bible says. She's a child of God, one of Jesus' special children. And I want to be very careful how I treat her as a wife and how the headship that she has over her down here on this earth is the right kind of headship. And what I do and decisions I make is also for her benefit. Amen? Now, if you just take some of the principles that we've taught tonight, and talking about marriage and strengthening your marriage, I'll guarantee you it will do that. And you do it one day at a time. Get up in the morning and try to figure out how you can be a blessing to your wife. Wife, get up in the morning and see how you can be a blessing to your husband. Make his life good. Make her life good. Amen? It's hard enough to get through this life without each other fighting each other, battling each other. I want to help her. She wants to help me. You understand? Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, again, thanking you for the grace of God, your goodness and kindness, and I do pray for our marriages. Help them to be strengthened, O God, that you may be glorified. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.